other favorite moments, I would favorite moments from the World Cup, I would say Daniel Vittori's catch and Martin Gopdil's catch in the game we watched. Those were two fantastic catches.
Yes.
And the first ball, that first wicket that Daniel Vittori got in that game against Australia, because he's the
Oh
one who
yes.
opened it up. That
Yeah,
was
yeah.
beautiful.
That was
And
beautiful.
that's what started the collapse. It was just coming out of nowhere and it just happened.
Part of that was the change of pace. The South had been bowling, and he'd been bowling a bit short, and the Australians were like, short pitched, medium fast bowling. Yum, 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 we'll take this. We know how to deal with this. Vittori came on, and it changed the pace, and the Australians just didn't adapt to it. And they got out, and then suddenly there was new batters coming in, facing Trent Bolt, who was moving it around plenty. And then from there, the collapse started.
Now, with that in mind, who's been your favorite player in the World Cup?
That's actually pretty hard. I'd actually, despite asking what my favorite moments were and giving two batsmen thing, might actually say Trent Bolt.
Trent
He
Bolt,
has a
fine performances.
very fine performance, and he is top of the wicket takers. But just watching him bowl has been looking, you watch him on TV or live, and he just looks effortless. He runs in, bowls a great line, moving it well. It's just looking so easy for him. And given this is a player that before this World Cup wasn't really considered a one day player, he was a test player, he was opening test bowler, could move the red ball, but wasn't considered very good with the white ball. And really, the only reason he got stuck in the squad is because he'd had such a fantastic test series leading up to it, and fantastic test series last year as well against India. So they sort of were forced to pick him because he had been bowling so well. But you knew he was sort of like the and Trent because he's bowling well, but they weren't going to play him, really. And the only reason he got a chance was because he'd been bowling so well against the Sri Lankans that had got figured out their top players, especially players like Sangakkara. And it was like, well, he's in to get Sangakkara out. And he did. And then he just bowled fantastically anyway.
And he's
And
been bowling really. That left arm bowlers have
yeah.
been like the kings of this tournament, left arm fast bowlers,
Yes.
and left arm spinners. What
But
are.
yeah, it's been pretty much that's been it. This tournament's been you need a left arm fast bowler in your team. And yes, I think even probably the previous tournament it was the left arm spinners. And now it seems to be the left arm fast is what you need. And every team, you can just almost feel that every team anywhere in the world is suddenly going, need a left arm fast bowler, go get one, or else there's
My favorite player, I can't pick between two of them. I know it's a bit of a cheat, but Brendan McCullum from that first ball, first boundary he hit when I went to Christchurch. Pretty much I've been entranced by him ever since, and the captaincy, just watching him set his
Oh,
fields and
yes.
move on the, he's like a lion on the field, like the pack, the pride are following him, and
Yeah.
he's leading the charge, leading the hunt for wickets, even though he
Definitely.
doesn't bowl. The other guy is the man I've been watching play cricket for almost as long as I can remember, Daniel Vittori.
Yeah.
Just where is this extra lease of life coming from?
That's crazy.
He's the most athletic fielder, such taking amazing catches, fielding balls that
Yeah.
realistically he shouldn't be reaching. And then,
But
no, he bowls a bit too, right? How
yeah.
useful is that? And bats a bit.
And wins games for us and stuff, with either bat or ball. But yes, talking about his athleticism, that one in the semi-final where he chased that ball out to the boundary ridiculously, and we all were like, that's Daniel Vittori, sprinting after a ball to the boundary and hauling it in and then throwing it in. Everybody was like, wow, Daniel. And just, standing ovation just about for his sprinting after a ball just because of how quick he was across, knowing how obvious.
I just love to see old war horses have that one last go and doing well. But he's been more than just an old war horse. He's gotten 15 wickets, good chance to end up as top spin bowler because he's equal with
Yes.
Imran Tahir at the moment and has superior economies and averages.
Yeah.
There's been a few people publishing their team of the tournaments. I would go with this. I don't know if you will disagree with me. I would be my openers would be Martin Guptill and Bryn McCullum. Martin
Yeah.
Guptill, because he's always kind of scored 30 plus every game, looked good until that
Yeah.
game against Bangladesh where he finally hit on, and he's just
Yeah.
now looked like he will hit on.
Yes.
Brendan McCullum for the other opener, just because he's, other than the games that kind of didn't matter, like Scotland and all the games that did matter, Australia, Sri Lanka, England and South Africa. He has gotten an important score. Even against Afghanistan, he got 40-odd off 18 balls.
The only one really where he's not done it is, which was Kobe Khanna's important game, was the West Indies.
Yep. Against Bangladesh, he got a duck, but I think that game wasn't really going to count. And to an extent, it helped the team that he didn't get runs because they had to do it without him.
Well, both him and Williamson got out quite early and quite cheaply. And you said, I think as I was watching it, I thought the same thing. And you said afterwards as well that it was good for the team. It meant that Guptill had to find form. And that Taylor had, and whilst yes, that he got 50 in the game and it looked really bad, he had to do it. And he stayed there and he got it. Yeah, it wasn't as though they folded and were out neatly. They dug in and did what they needed to do, which is good going forward. And I think that has been in good stead through this. So it helped in the quarterfinal. You know, BMAC got out a little early. He still got, I think he got 20, something like that. He got, and it was reasonably quick. He was out within a couple of overs, but he'd hit a few fours and and got some runs. But yeah, then Guptill went on and went, well. And he did what he's meant, what he is there for, which is BMAC goes and smashes as many as he can in as short a time as he can. But Guptill's got to be there to be the opener that anchors the innings without being slow about it. And he hasn't been slow about
it. At all. And number three, I don't think anyone can not pick him, Kumara Sangakkara. It's just amazing tournament. And he's also... I don't need to expand on this. The cricketing world's going to miss him, I think. Yeah. Any true-blooded cricket fan. And, yeah, it's a great way for him to end. If only he could get something good against South Africa, but sometimes it's not meant to be.
Sometimes.
Number four, I'm going to go across the ditch to our neighbours. Steve Smith, I think, has had a fantastic tournament, especially after being promoted to number three. He's shown some real maturity. He won the game against India for them, pretty much. And he's been consistent every time. Number five, realistically, if you're not picking AB de Villiers, you really don't understand cricket. I would pick him at number five. I don't think I need to justify why I'm picking him at number five. Number six, I would have the big show, Glenn Maxwell, because his... pretty much performed in every game, either with the bat or the ball. And my number seven batsman would be Corey Anderson. Yes, it's a bit low down the order for him, but he's been useful with both bat and ball, like we said, and fielded beautifully. And he's performed in every game, pretty much, for New Zealand in some capacity.
I assume you're giving Sangakkara the gloves, and therefore you can take that extra batsman down there?
I was thinking either Sangakkara or BMAC to take the gloves, but I could go with Sangakkara because he's actually been taking the gloves.
BMAC's given up on the gloves, so I don't think we can... after all this time, I don't think we can give him the gloves back.
And after that, I would pick Trent Bolt, obviously, as one of your bowlers. Mitchell Starc.
Yeah.
Daniel Vittori.
Yeah.
And it's really up to whether you want to pick Imran Tahir to go with two spinners, but no team has realistically done the two spinner thing this tournament.
No.
I would go with a slightly maybe controversial choice with I would go with what's his name? From India. Not Mohit Sharma, not Mohammed Shami. Umesh Yadav. Key wickets at key times. And he's just been getting it to go at pace, and you can't just have left hand bowlers. That's my excuse for it.
Sure. I think the only real change I would have there would be Salvi as a bowler. I mean, him and Bolt have been doing wonderful things
in
New Zealand. I guess that does mean we have the New Zealand opening batters and the New Zealand opening bowlers in our team. But we're New Zealanders, so it's okay.
That's fine.
Other than that, I can't really think of many changes. Maybe trying to fit Gale in there somewhere. I mean...
Would you pick him ahead of BMAC? I wouldn't.
No, and I wouldn't pick him ahead of Guptill either. So I don't know where I'd stick him in there, but that'd be the only one I'd look at and say, can I fit Gale in here somewhere? Who can I drop? And maybe it's a case of dropping Maxwell and putting Gale in and then rejigging the order a little bit, so...
I don't know. But, I think Maxwell's been pretty consistent alternative.
I mean, it's a hard thing to drop, and I'm really dropping an all-rounder for really a batter who can also bowl a little bit.
Yeah.
Although he's been pretty injured, Gale, so the bowling hasn't really happened. But that's really what I look at. The only thought I would have was, how can I fit Gale in here? Mm. That would be, whilst it's also near the end of his time on the pitch. I don't think he's announced his retirement yet, but he can't be too far off, really.
He has said that he's not retiring from any form of cricket. He will not play in the next tour to recover from his current injuries, but he is available for the West Indies in any format they choose to pick him in.
Okay.
Which is good for the West Indies.
It's good for the West Indies.
So pick you good players, West Indies. This is what I hope you've learned from this tournament.
Yes.
And this is question number 9, signing off.
This is The Fool, saying goodbye.